Pastor James, in speaking to the church at Jerusalem and to the churches of the ages, continues as he gives us instruction on worshiping the Lord and relying on the Lord. We come this morning to chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And he's talking about anointing prayer for healing. I invite you to stand together with me, please, in reverence to God's word. James 5, 13 to 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. If anyone's happy, let him sing songs of praise. If anyone among you is sick, let him call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins each to the other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Greg Wren, would you ask God's blessing on the reading of his word this morning? And you may be seated. In verse 13, he talks about worship. Verse 14, about anointing. Verse 15, about forgiveness. Verse 16, about intercession. In each of these verses, Jesus is teaching us that prayer is adequate for all circumstances. W. William Scroggin, a preacher from an earlier day, said, "Pray when you feel like it, pray if you don't feel like it, and pray until you feel like it." Let me say that again. Pray when you feel like it, pray when you don't feel like it, pray until you feel like it. Prayer, it's always appropriate. Maybe you heard the illustration of the little boy and his father in a restaurant. Goes like this. Last week I took my children to a restaurant. My six-year-old son had asked if he could say grace. I said, sure. We bowed our heads and he said, "God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food. And I would even thank you more if mother gets us some ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen." Well, along with the laughter that you're sharing from other customers nearby, they could hear one woman remark, and it's always that one comment that comes through that you hear. "Well, that's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray, asking God for ice cream. Why, I've never." Hearing this, the little boy burst into tears and asked us, said, "Did I do something wrong? Is God mad at me?" The father held them and assured them that he had done a terrific job and that God was certainly not mad at him. A few minutes later, an elderly gentleman approached the table. He winked at the little boy and he says, "I happen to know that God thought that that was a great prayer." "Really?" my son asked. And then with a whisper, the man leaned over and he said, "Too bad she never asked God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for your soul sometimes." I'm hearing more amens right there than. Naturally, a little bit later, the father bought ice cream for his kids at the end of the meal. The son stared at his ice cream for a moment, and then the father said he did something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. He picked up his ice cream sundae, and without a word, he walked right over to where that woman was sitting, and he placed it down right in front of her. And he said, "Here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul is good already." It comes from an anonymous preacher. Prayer is always good for the soul. So is ice cream. Well, this morning we're going to consider the concept and obedience of healing prayer. What is healing? According to the words in the New Testament, healing means to mend something that is broken, to make it whole again, or to overcome an unhealthy situation in the following arenas of life, whether they're physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, financial, or relational. Here this morning, when we look in this message on healing, I encourage you, through the grace of God, to look inside your own life. Think about what God's doing in your life and wants to do in your life. Think about the situation that you're facing and what is it that's shackling you this morning that you need to be liberated from and set free? What is it that you need to say, Lord, I need to just really focus and put this in your hands this morning? What is it that he's wanting to mend to make you whole the way that he intended you to be whole? Well, there's six ways, really, that God works in healing. Six different methods. First of all, he works through the healing of professionals, and they're a part of God's healing team. I'd like to ask those that we have in our church this morning, if you are in the medical field or the dental field, or you have been in those fields, would you please stand? We've got some I know. We've got active duty nurses, retired nurses, dental personnel. And see, how about a hand for these folks? These folks have literally been the hands and the ears, the fingers, and the mouthpiece of Jesus to bring healing. A second way that God uses to bring healing is through treatments. And miraculous treatments, be them medicine or therapy, etc. And I could probably ask everybody that's taken medicine stand up, but it'd be a standing ovation. Or everybody that's gone through therapy, all of us would be standing. Medical treatments. A third way is he created within our bodies a repelling defense mechanism, and it's through white blood cells. They attack an infection, and they work to fight that, and as they fight that, we find ourselves hopefully able to get stronger and stronger and better as they take on foreign bodies that come into our body and fight those off. That brings healing. A fourth way is through God's direct touch. Jesus healed sick people for three reasons. First of all, a person might have come to him and said, please heal me. And Jesus did. Whether he rubbed clay in their eyes or did something else, he healed them. Another way is a person would come to him and said, heal my loved one. Like the publican had come, heal my daughter. Others had come, would you heal, etc. The lady, I believe, that reached out in the midst of the crowd, if I but have faith. Third way that Jesus healed is he did it just simply because he chose to. His life was healing. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick. He impacted people's lives, and people would, Jesus is nearby, and they would come. They would seek him out. Oh, just to be touched by him, to be anointed by him in his presence, of his touch upon you, to have him take moments to look into your eyes, to deliver you. A fifth way is through what is called a book that's been written about called God's Psychiatry. And it's a book by Pastor Charles Allen. And here he describes the fifth principle. It's the healing effects of obedience to the Word of God in His Bible. If you look like in Psalms 23, you'll find that in that particular chapter, as you read it and apply it to your life, there's calmness that comes to our nerves in stress-filled times in our lives. We've also learned in God's Word the release and the weight that comes off of us, the burden that comes off of us, when we forgive those who've trespassed against us. God gives us healing within us. Another way Jesus said it to his disciples here in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Living in a troubled day, Jesus brings healing in troubled days when we will just put mind him and seek him first. And the sixth way is really the ultimate cure. It's when Jesus comes back again to call the redeemed home. Or when we go from this life through death and we walk into his loving arms to be ultimately healed. This has been a year in which a lot of our fathers, of those in this congregation, have experienced ultimate healing. I was just adding up the number of parents that those in our church had lost that have passed away. They're healed today to be in his Jesus' arms. In Revelation 21:4, he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. In 1 Corinthians 15:52 to 53, we'll be raised imperishable and we'll be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality. The ultimate healing that comes when we make it safely to heaven's shore. Never to have to deal with pain or disease again. In the Church of the Nazarene, in Article 14 in our most recent manual, the 2013-2017 edition, talks about our church's belief on divine healing. We believe in the Bible doctrine of divine healing and urge our people to seek the offer of the prayer of faith for the healing of the sick. We also believe that God heals through the means of medical science. Healing. As a whole, I think that Christians feel like that it's kind of really a simple thing. But sometimes we've complicated it to the point that we've misunderstood. We think that unless God does it the way that we thought he ought to do it, it's not really healing. Some denominations and cults will deny one of the six methods that I chose to share from this morning that Jesus or the Lord might choose to use, that they'll say that it's not really healing. If you've gone to a doctor, you didn't have faith. Phooey. And that, I think God would say that. Why did he train these people? Why did he give them healing touch in their hands? Because he wanted to utilize it. God's not limited. And when we limit him, the difference that we need to understand in divine healing, that it's got to always be prefaced in worship and prayer. God always answers prayer. And he's always answered prayer, and he always will. The way that he chooses to heal may be different for you and you and you and me, who might be facing a very similar thing. He might heal us all the same way through a vaccine, whatever, but he may choose to heal each of us differently. God likes variety. Just as he likes those of us of all shapes and sizes and sorts, God's not limited in how he chooses to touch and heal our bodies, our minds, our souls, our relationships. The people prayed for healing. The apostles were used by Jesus to bring healing. We see in Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, Peter had been asked the question, said, what can you do for us? I have no silver or gold, but what I have I'll give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And he got up and took his right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strong and he was able to walk. God's divine healing. He works through our lives. He works in our lives. We've all been here. We know that sometimes we've heard testimony after testimony. There were cancer cells, and a prayer was prayed, and prayers were prayed, and another report came back, another test, and the cancer cells were gone. There was a birth defect that was noticed in a child in vitro, and they found out later that that child is now a healthy toddler running around. There's all kinds of other healings that have taken place, and where maybe a valve was not working right, and they go in to see it and work on it, and it's suddenly working. Or cancer or that had showed up on an x-ray in a lung, and they go in to look at it, and it's not there. Or family relationships that very easily could have turned into World War III, but they've been brought healing by God's miraculous intervention. God's still in the miracle-performing business. He didn't clock out last night at midnight. He didn't clock out at 9:30 this morning. He's still on the job. In Matthew chapter 4, we see in verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching them in synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all throughout Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill of various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. The ministry of Jesus is synonymous with healing. He heals us of our diseases. He heals us of our sin. He heals us and restores our life to make us vessels that we can be used for his honor and glory, in which what he's done for us can pour out and be seen by others and impact others. As we look at the passages on healing this morning, and specifically go for a time of anointing prayer at the end of the service, we understand that it is God who gets all the glory. It is God who chooses the way to heal. It's God who works in and through us. And sometimes he heals and delivers us, and we give him praise when he takes all the pain away. But another way that he brings healing sometimes is like what he did for Paul. He helps us go through it. Paul had a pain in his side in 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10. He said, "To keep me from being conceited because of those surpassing great revelations that had been given to me, a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For I know that when I am weak, I am strong." Through Christ Jesus. He was never delivered from that pain in his side, but he was able to have it as a constant reminder that God would help him day by day, and no matter what the struggle was in the day, God was there with him, helping him to take the next step, helping him to take the next breath, helping him to be the hands and feet and mouthpiece of Jesus. Many of you have heard of or maybe read a book by Dr. Tony Campolo over the years, noted pastor and educator in Pennsylvania. He tells a story in one of his sermons about being in a church in Oregon, and he was asked to pray for a man who had cancer. He prayed boldly for the man's healing. The next week, he got a telephone call from the man's wife. She said over the phone, "You prayed for my husband. He had cancer." Campolo was thinking in his mind, and he heard her say the past tense use of the verb. Had cancer. Maybe his cancer had been eradicated. But before he could think too much about it, the woman said, "He died." Campolo suddenly felt terrible. But she continued, "Oh, Dr. Campolo, don't feel bad. When he came into church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew that he was going to be dead in a short time. He hated God. He was 58 years of age. He wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and curse God. This anger grew more towards God, and he became more miserable, and he made everybody around him miserable. It was an awful thing to be in his presence. But the lady went on to tell Kampolo, after you prayed for him, a peace came over him, and a joy came into him. And Dr. Tony, in the last 3 days, have been the best days of our lives. We have sung, we have laughed, we've read scripture, we prayed. Oh, they've been wonderful days. I called today to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for his healing. And then she said something incredibly profound. She said, he wasn't cured, he was healed. This morning, as we come to a time in which Pastor Fred and I will be anointing folks in a moment, maybe it's not the most important thing that we do as an affirmation of faith is to anoint others and to pray for them. Maybe what might be the most amazing thing and where the trigger for the answer of God to work is we surrender the questions to the Lord this morning. Oh, we always have questions. Why? What? How? How long? When? Where? Or here's the biggie. Why me? Why me? Probably for the greater good, it's best for us to understand that God heals, and sometimes he doesn't heal in the way and manner and time and place that you thought he would. And what we simply need to do as his children is surrender those questions to him. Don't question his ability. Don't question his motives and wisdom. To understand that he doeth all things well. We place ourselves this morning entirely in his hands in faith. Said, God, here I am. With what I'm going through or with what the person that I'm interceding for this morning is going through, I bring it all to you. I bring the questions. I bring the situation. I bring myself. I bring themselves to you. And I lay it all at your feet and say, will you make sense out of this nonsense? Will you bring healing where there's hurt? Will you bring their hope where there's helplessness? Will you do a work in us, Lord, that when it's done and in the midst of it and as it is done, that we will give you the glory and others will see that God is God and he is in control. God is Jehovah Rapha, the great healer. He is Creator God. He knows more what's going on inside of you physically, emotionally, and spiritually than anyone else because he was there when the first breath was breathed into you, and he'll be there when you take your last breath, and he's there all along in between. He's there in the midst of it all, as it says in the situations that we face. We understand this morning that probably the most simple thing that we could do is to trust God. Say it again. The most simple and sensible thing we could do is to trust God. Lord, here it is. Here I am. You handle it. We anoint with oil for a variety of reasons. One, oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. James gave the instruction, if they were sick among us, to call the elders of the church together to pray. And in the Church of the Nazarene, the elders here would be Pastor Fred and I, who are ordained elders in the church. And we'll be standing here at the front in just a few moments with oil to pray and anoint those that come forward. One of the reasons that oil is used is it helps us focus on the Holy Spirit and the power of God. When we are sick and when we are troubled, things are out of focus. It's allergy season. Okay? You can be dealing with allergy symptoms, trying to combat the pollen. And as you're trying to combat the pollen, it impacts every other area in your life. It hurts to breathe. You can't get your eyes lubricated enough. You know, you carry eye drops. I got some here in my pocket. I can't get it out, but, you know, I need more eye drops. And then I'll probably find out 2 weeks from now I need to change to a different brand of eye drops or a different strength because that's not working. The yellow stuff's still getting through. And you find yourself that you're not really able to think straight and focus on things that you need to focus on because you're dealing with a particular illness, whether it's an illness of you or a burden for someone else that you're carrying. All that your focus is on that. And it's the expression, we can't see the forest for the trees. We can't see and function in all the arenas of our life that we need to focus on and function in because that particular disease has just got us consumed. That's human nature. And everything else gets out of focus. You know, if you got a headache and you sit down and you try to balance your checkbook, that's not a good time to do that, is it? And maybe balancing your checkbook will give you a headache. I don't know. If you're dealing with any number of diseases, aches and pains, it impacts the way that you function and think about other things. Our concentration is off. So the oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit, that our focus is not on the disease or the dilemma. Our focus is on the deliverer. Another thing about it, in the Holy Spirit, it's also a symbol of God's care and comfort. We have joy as we understand that His mercy extends to us. The oil of gladness, as you see recorded in Scripture. It's the oil of gladness that from the hurt, when it hurts to smile, let alone laugh, we find ourselves now through the oil that we're focusing on, just the pure joy of His presence. The oil in the Old Testament was also used to set apart God's priest. It was poured on the top of their head. They would run down to the bottom of their feet, and it literally would drip off of them. They were set apart for God's service. As we use oil, we're saying, God, we are saying that we are set apart for You, and what we're going through is set apart for You to work all throughout. Within us and in those that we care about, so that we would give You the glory and others would see that You get the glory. We want to be Your servants. We want to be a testimony that if God can deliver me, or if God can help me through that situation as He helped Paul in the thorn in the flesh, if God can do that for you and I, He could do it for someone else. The world is watching. They are seeing, where is our faith and where is our focus? Is our faith in ourselves? You know, that's selfishness. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Is it in others, thinking that they've got to take care of our problem? Well, that's welfare mentality. Or is our focus in the Lord? That's yieldedness. God, I yield myself in this situation. I yield this disease, this trial to You. I yield this burden to You. And ask that You would bring about the kind of healing that's best and in the right time and the right way, that it'll be best for the individual, all involved, and that You'll get the glory. Lord, He may not provide the healing that You think that you need, but may instead provide a greater healing that He knows that you need. As you come this morning for healing on behalf of yourself or maybe someone else, we simply ask that you come in faith. In faith, believing that God is going to meet you right where you are, that God knows and understands the situation, that God will bring healing, that will bring honor and glory with you, that He'll walk with you every step of the way, whether it's just instantly deliverance or He helps you to be able to go through it. He says here in verse 16, and we'll talk more about it next week, that the prayers of the righteous are effective and powerful. We ask this morning that God would anoint our prayers, that they would be for His honor and His glory, to speak specifically to the needs that you represent today. as we come in obedience to the Scripture, we come really, first of all, to celebrate Jesus. Notice verse 13. We start with worship. We celebrate Him and His sacrifice for us. We remember the tomb is empty this morning. We've got reason to celebrate. He's alive. We also come to clarify our need. In Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God, here I am. Here's what I'm facing. I need you. And we commit our life to Him. In Psalms 37, 3 and 5, trust in the Lord and do not good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and give your desires to Him. Commit your way to the Lord. We develop an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of commitment that I am yours, Lord. If we live, we live in the Lord. If we die in the Lord. And so whether we live or die, we belong to you, as Romans 14:8 says. And last but not least, we confess our sins. Lord, here's where I've fallen short. Here's where you've shined light and I've not been walking in the light. In the beginning, there were some questions that He asked. If any of you is in trouble, if anyone is happy, is anyone sick? But let me ask you some questions this morning. So we come to this time of prayer and anointing. How are you doing today? Really? In what way maybe are you feeling less than whole? What's broken your heart that only the great mender can put it back together? Do you believe God wants to heal you today? I believe He does. Do you believe God's bigger than what's the matter? I believe He is. God has healing for each of us. We find ourselves flooded with thoughts of loss and frustration. We find ourselves maybe scattered in our approach and not able to focus. But those steps, that first step and the others that we take towards God, are the best steps that we ever take, because God will hear and answer prayer. He will touch our diseases. He'll heal our lives and restore us so that we'll become a vessel or tool in His hands that can be used. God's really good, and He always has been good, of using broken vessels for His honor and glory. Maybe it's in your brokenness that He wants to make you whole, to be able to use you to bring others to Him.